بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد الحمد لله today is the 20th of December in the year 2020 and alhamdulillah we moved on to the 8th session and we're going through the commentary of the glorious Surah Al-Kahf and I've reached verse 22 of the blessed Surah. So inshallah today going through and up to including verse 25. So verse 22. Some say there were three, the dog being the fourth amongst them. Others say there were five, the dog being the sixth, undoubtedly guessing at the unknown. Yet others say there were seven, the dog being the eighth. Say, my Lord knows best their number. It is but a few that know their real IKs. Enter not therefore into controversies concerning them, except on a matter that is clear, nor consult any of them about the sleepers. SubhanAllah. So in this holy verse, Allah the Almighty and Exalted, He's explaining to us how to deal with the reports from the Bani Israel. So the first thing, the controversy in later ages raged about the number of the sleepers. Gibbon's version, which has now become best known, makes the number of sleepers seven. The point was immaterial. The real point was the spiritual lesson. So note, is it important to know how many numbers there are? The lessons I mentioned in the previous session, they're the reasons why this incident took place. So Hafiz Ibn Kathir, he said in Al-Muqaddama, volume 1, page 4 and others, quoting, the Quran itself teaches us how to deal with such Israeli narrations. It says, and he recited verse 22. In this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned different Israeli versions current amongst the people of the book about the number of the cave dwellers. He has also laid down the following principles. And Ibn Kathir mentions six. Number one, describing the Israeli narrations and their differences are permissible. So when somebody goes, are we allowed to mention the difference amongst the people of the book? Yes, Allah Ta'ala teaches us that here. That's the first lesson. Number two, those of the narrations that have been proved false must be rejected, as has been done by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, refuting the first two by saying doubtfully guessing of the unknown. So when you know something is wrong from the people of the book, you mention that. Because Allah Ta'ala says here, Rajman bil ghayb, guessing at the unknown. Allah Ta'ala is teaching you that you do that. If something contradicts the Quran, that's falsehood. So Allah Ta'ala mentions the first two here, saying they're guessing at the unknown. The third lesson, Ibn Kathir said, nothing should be said about the version which is not proof false. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has done so about the third narration. So if you look at the verse, Allah Ta'ala mentions, some say there were seven, the dog being the eighth, and then it doesn't say anything. So when something doesn't contradict, you can quote it, you neither affirm it, nor you negate it. Allah Ta'ala is teaching you that here. The fourth thing, our belief about the truth or falsehood of these versions should be that the real knowledge rests with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the Quran says, "Qul Rabbi a'lam bi'iddati," my Lord knows best their number. And fifthly, we must remain from engaging in any unnecessary debate on these narrations. Allah Ta'ala doesn't give you any details except what they are saying. And number six, if this, it is not proper to probe into the veracity of these narrations, because it will be a futile action. One does not stand to gain anything in this world or the next. So somebody goes to you, let's go, let's investigate further about these different views. You don't benefit from that. So Ibn Kathir said this one verse is the cornerstone with regards to the narrations, for instance, in the Bible, in the Torah, in the old scriptures. This verse is the blueprint. Allah Ta'ala is telling you what you can and cannot do with regards to the narratives of the people of the book. So look how beautiful. Allah Ta'ala is telling you about the people of the book, but He's teaching you. There's nothing in the narrative which is redundant. Allah Ta'ala is giving you what you need to know. And of course the hadith echo. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, he said in Hayat al-Sahab that do not confirm what the people of the book have said because it might be a lie. And do not reject what the people of the book have said because it might be the truth. So there's wisdom. So somebody, you read a beautiful passage in the Bible and your heart's moved by it. So you go, that must be from God. Guess what? It's not. It's from Paul. Look at the danger in that. Or you get another passage, you think, well, that don't make sense. That can't be from God. It is from God. So it's dangerous. Therefore you say, look, the truth is with Allah. We use this blueprint. The truth is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now the seven. Right in the middle of this verse, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? مَا يَعْلَمُهُمْ إِلَّا قَلِيلٌ. It is but few that know their real truth, the real truth. So Allah Ta'ala goes, very few people know the truth. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said, he recited that portion, he said, I am one of the few, and there were seven. I am one of the few, and there were seven. This is in Ibn Jarir, Ibn Kathir, with a Sahih Jalal transmission. So Ibn Abbas said, definitely there were seven. The dog was the eighth. And then he goes, I'm one of the few. Why did he say that? Because Allah Ta'ala says, Illa Qalil, very few know this. He's, I'm one of the few. Why? Because he's tarjamanul Quran. The Prophet has made a dua that he understands the Quran in Sahih Bukhari. And also Ibn Mas'ud said, he is the interpreter of the Quran. Tarjamanul Quran. So he was given that knowledge. So who were the seven? So he said there's seven. Not only did he know the seven, he knew their names. In Tabarani, in his Awsat, is Hassan, Ma'rif al-Qur'an, volume 5, page 603. Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiyallahu anhu, said, the names of the seven youths were, number one, Muqsalmina, number two, Tamlikha, number three, Marthunis, number four, San'unis, number five, Sari Lunis. Number six, Dhu Newas. And number seven, Ka'as Teti Unis. Rahimahumullah. So these were the seven. All of their names, obviously, you can get some English equivalents. So one of them is called Marthunis. So obviously Matthew, you get Matthew. And the rest, your guess is as good as mine. But these were the seven blessed sleepers of the cave. And this is an authentic report. Question, how did Ibn Abbas get that knowledge? The response is, he's Tarjamanul Quran. Allah Ta'ala has blessed him. But these are the names. So do we benefit from that? You know, not really, but Alhamdulillah, we know their names. So the Quran mentions seven. It doesn't say whether that is the truth. But because Ibn Abbas said it, majority of the Ummah say there were seven. And notice the dog is mentioned again and again. Imam Razi rahmatullah alayh, in his Tafsir Kabir, he said the reason the dog is mentioned in this narrative is because Allah Ta'ala is teaching you that if you keep the company of the righteous, He will honor you. The dog is a lowly creature. But because it kept the company of the righteous, what greater honor can there be that he's mentioned in the Quran? There's no greater honor. Also, Imam Razi said that on the day of judgment, the dog will transform into a human being and will enter paradise. The dog will transform into a human being and enter paradise. So think about that. There's nothing beyond the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So not only is the dog honored, it enters paradise, but as a human being. So note again, that's why the dog is mentioned. Allah Ta'ala is telling you very powerfully, Do not underestimate the blessings of righteous company. If Allah Ta'ala blesses a dog, could they talk to the dog? No. Could the dog talk to them? No. And yeah, look at the effects. Right, so note again, the dog is also mentioned here. It was interesting, in all of the views, the dog is mentioned. 5, 6, dog. 6, dog. Right? They all mentioned this dog. So again, note the honor given to that, the dog. Verse 23. Nor say of anything, I shall be sure to do so and so tomorrow. Verse 24. Without adding, so please Allah, and call your Lord to mind when you forget, and say, I hope that my Lord will guide me ever closer than this to the right path. So now, there's a few things mentioned here. So the first thing is, if by any chance we forget, we must come back to him and keep him in remembrance, as did the companions of the cave. So when we forget, we should always say, inshallah, when we remember. What does it mean? Just as the companions of the cave. Go back to verse 19. When they awoke from their 300 year slumber, they start asking, how long have we stayed? And after mentioning a few views, what did they say? Allah Ta'ala knows best how long we have stayed. And they stopped the conversation. So there's a link. Allah Ta'ala is teaching you here that when you forget, because sometimes you might start going into unnecessary arguments about the dog, about the location. So you should stay away. Allah Ta'ala knows best. Follow the people of the cave. Allah Ta'ala is basically telling you. And similarly, like I mentioned, there's a report. So this is recorded in Ibn Jarir and Ibn Mardawih from Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once made an oath, yet 40 nights passed, the matter which Allah Ta'ala sent down this verse at hand. He couldn't fulfill his oath because he forgot to say, inshallah. Allah Ta'ala then revealed this verse. In other words, you can't do anything without my leave. And like I mentioned on the first opening session of this commentary of this glorious surah, when the Prophet told the unbelieving Quraysh, come back to me tomorrow, I'll tell you. And Allah Ta'ala didn't reveal. 15 days later, he revealed. And this verse was revealed saying, say, inshallah. And the unbelieving Quraysh actually started doubting the Prophet. He goes, look, he's not told us anything. He said, tomorrow, 15 days of fast. So here, Allah Ta'ala's alerting us to that. When you forget, say, inshallah. Two times. One is when you talk about the future, you say, inshallah. And one is when you start realizing you're talking futility. Meaning, this is bakwas. Right? So you stop. You say, Allah Ta'ala knows best. So there's two meanings to what's being mentioned in this holy verse. So now here, there's a very famous report. And the report mentions, so this is recorded in Bukhari and Muslim and Ibn Kathir's tafsir. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu relates that our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Sulaiman ibn Dawood alayhi salatu wa salam said, tonight I will go around 70 women. In another report, 90 or 100 women, so that each one of them will give birth to a son who will fight fi sabilillah. So some in the report. So the Prophet is talking about sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Holy Prophet Sulaiman alayhi salatu wa sallam. And the report says he made an intention. I'm going to go to 70 of my women, meaning his wives or what his rayana possesses, or 90 or 100. And he goes, they will each get pregnant. They will give birth to a son, fi sabilillah, who will fight. In other words, that was his intention. His intention was, I want sons who will do jihad. And the scholars, they say, look at his love for jihad. Somebody goes, when you want children, what? Doctor, lawyer. Right? Do we think, Ya Allah, give me a son, I'm sending him straight onto the battlefield. Right? That's the sunnah of Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. The report continues. It was said to him, in one report, an angel said to him, say, inshallah. But he did not say it. Then look what the report says. فَطَافَ بِهِنَّ فَلَمْ تَلِدْ مِنْهُنَّ إِلَّا امْرَأَةً وَاحِدَةً نِصْفَ إِنسَانٍ. He went around to the women. None of them gave birth except for one who gave birth to a half-formed child. So he went to all his wives or his right-hand possessors. None of them got pregnant. And this also shows the strength of prophets in one night. Right? You know, people say, are they like me and you? I don't know, brother, but have you read the hadith in Bukhari and Muslim, right? And he goes, none of them got pregnant except one. And that one gave birth, and look what the hadith says. Nisfa insan, it was half human. That's the literal meaning. I'll come back to that. Rasulullah then said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by the one in whose hand is my soul, if he had said, inshallah, he would not have broken his oath, and that would have helped him to attain what he wanted. And then the Prophet, in another report, he said, وَلَقَاتَلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ فُرْسَانًا أَجْمَعُونَ. They would have all fought as horsemen in the path of Allah. Subhanallah. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he didn't say inshallah. If he had said inshallah, that would have been fulfilled. And every one of his sons would have done jihad in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi, meaning that Allah would have fulfilled everything. But he forgot the golden words, inshallah. So now, does that mean, a'udhu billah, he made a mistake? No. It's the less of the better options. The Prophet's slips are the less of the better options. And also we learn from that. If it wasn't for this, we wouldn't really understand the value of inshallah. Meaning, shaitan will make you forget. You always say inshallah if something is regarding the future. So now, this is interesting. Let's go to now another passage of the Quran. In Surah 38, verse 31. Who was that half child? So in Surah 38, verse 31, look at it very briefly. I don't want to go through it any length. The translation is, so in verse 31, Allah Ta'ala mentions that the horses were brought to him. He had many horses, Suleiman alayhi salatu wasalam. And then he said, I love the love of good with a view to glorifying my Lord. So, what did he mean by that? That the horses are good. Our beloved messenger Anas radiallahu anhu said, after women, nothing was dearer to Allah's messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam than horses. After women, nothing was dearer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's messenger than horses. This is in Nasa'i, the Rahim number 979. So he was looking at these horses and he was very happy. Alhamdulillah, Allah has given me these horses. But then it says, but the sun was hidden. It started to set. Then in verse 33, look what he says. Bring them back to me, that I may pass my hand over their legs and their necks. Bring those horses back. So I'll put my hand over their necks and their legs. The hadith says, Sahih hadith in Tabarani, he slaughtered them. He slaughtered them. The hadith of the Prophet says that, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why did he do that? Because they caused him to forget his zikr. The horses came. He was so upset. He sacrificed them. Didn't waste them, he sacrificed them. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a sahih hadith, if anything is given for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala will give you something better in its place. Because he sacrificed those horses, Allah Ta'ala then gave him a kingdom that nobody else will have. The wind, the jinn, and he even made a dua for that, i.e. in verse 35. So he slaughtered the horses for the pleasure of Allah. So look how upset, we don't even get upset. If you miss your zikr, do you start going around thinking, I've got to slaughter a camel? You don't even bother about it. Right? Meaning because it's not valuable to us. We just, yeah, we'll do it morning and evening. You forgot to do your zikr. Moskum za abalibs. I'm doing that. But there you go. Look how upset he became, right? He goes, anything took me away. Look what he was teaching us. Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. Then, look how interesting, verse 34, this is why I mentioned it. What does he say? What does it say in verse 34? We did test Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, we placed on his throne a body without life, but he did turn to us in devotion. What is that verse? Who was this body without life? Most of the commentators say it was that half child. You go to this hadith. So what was he wanting? He wanted jihad. Look what's happened. He slaughtered all the horses. Really upset. So he's thinking jihad. That's what the horses were for. It was jihad. Then he's thinking, I want son through jihad. He didn't say inshallah. So he went through that test now. No children except one. And even he's maybe, you know, something physically wrong with him. So Allah Ta'ala says, we tested him. This was his test. But of course he passed. And when he saw that child, look what it says beautifully in verse 35. He made a dua. رَبِّ غَفِرْ لِي وَهَبْ لِي مُلْكَ اللَّهِ يَنْبَغِي لِأَحَدٍ مِّن بَعَدِهِ. Oh my Lord, forgive me. Grant me a kingdom which nobody will have after me. And Allah gave him that magnificent kingdom. What was he asking forgiveness for? Two things. One was, I didn't say inshallah. And secondly, if I've slaughtered the animals, maybe this wasn't the correct thing, but it was. But this is the status of the prophets. They feel it in their hearts. So look how beautiful. The hadith and the Quran explain each other. But you have to study. That verse baffled many scholars because why is this half child? What is that body on the throne? Why? Because he was expecting that one of them might succeed me as well. But how can a half child succeed him? That's why symbolically on the throne it meant he's not going to be any benefit to you. So note, this is what's being referred to in this blessed hadith. Also, like I mentioned, these verses were revealed when the Prophet was asked about the people of the cave. He said, I will tell you tomorrow. The revelation was delayed for 15 days. This is in Ibn Jarir and Ibn Kathir's tafsir. So now, if you look at verse 24, going back to the verse, what does Allah Ta'ala say? Illa ayyasha Allah. And then it says, وَذْكُرْ رَبَّكَ إِذَا نَسِيتْ. Remember your Lord when you forget. When you say, inshallah, remember your Lord when you forget. What does that mean? So here, Hassan al-Basri, rahmatullah alayhi, said, means, if you forget to say, inshallah, then say it when you remember. That's what it means. So when Allah Ta'ala says, say, إِيَّشَاءَ اللَّهِ وَذْكُرْ رَبَّكَ إِذَا نَسِيتْ. Remember your Lord when you forget. Allah Ta'ala is telling you, you forgot. Well, as soon as you remember, say inshallah, even though it's late. So you might even start something. And you think, oh, inshallah, even though it's late. Some people, oh, brother, you think it's too late, huh? He said, no, you still say it. Allah Ta'ala is telling you to say it. Just like when you eat and you forget. Bismillah al-awwal wal-akhir. I remember my Lord at the beginning and the end. The Prophet goes, never forget, keep saying it. That's one meaning from Hasan al-Basri. Also, Ibn Abbas said, he may say, inshallah, even if it is a year later. So imagine, you go, yeah, I'm going to Umrah. You've done the Umrah, imagine, completed it. You've come back, Ramadan passed, you fasted month of Ramadan, and then 1 year passed, and then you somebody else, and some you remember. What is it, inshallah? And you go, inshallah. And somebody imagine you said that. What are you saying, inshallah, for Umrah? I did last year. They'll probably burst out laughing. Because what are you saying, inshallah, for us? You've already done it. As Ibn Abbas says, even after the year, say inshallah. Right? How many of us know that? Also, Ibn Abbas said, radiyallahu anhu, وَذْكُرْ رَبَّكَ إِذَا نَسِيتْ. Was Al-Amash was asked, did you hear this from Mujahid? He said, Layth ibn Abi Salim told me this. Ibn Jarir and Ibn Kathir's tafsir. Why were the Salaf disputing this? Because it doesn't make sense. So when the Salaf said, did you really hear that from Ibn Abbas? So after the year, you say, inshallah. He goes, yes. He gave the change. You look, definitely you say after the year. Then Ibn Kathir said, the meaning of Ibn Abbas, that a person says, inshallah, even after the year, is that if he forgets to say it when he makes the oath or when he speaks, he remembers it later, even a year later. The sunnah is that he should say it so that he will be following the sunnah, inshallah, even if that is after breaking his oath. This is the view of Ibn Jarir, rahmatullah alayh. But he stated that this does not make up for breaking the oath or means that one is no longer obliged to offer expiation. what Ibn Jarir said is correct, it is more appropriate to understand the words of Ibn Abbas in this way. Simply put, what's a very famous hadith? If you say inshallah and you don't do what you do, you're not accountable. Everybody knows that. One of those get out of jail cards, isn't it? I said inshallah, brother. That means I don't need to do it. You're right. That hadith does say that. But it doesn't mean do it. Don't use inshallah for that. Brother, are you coming tomorrow? Inshallah, brother. Inshallah. And in your heart, never come in, right? It doesn't mean that. It means you say inshallah and you mean to do, and something happens, then you're not accountable. Then you don't need to break the oath. That's the mercy of that. But Ibn Abbas said, you don't need to break the oath. Even after a year. Somebody goes, but I've done it. So I broke the oath. So Ibn Kathir said, this inshallah after the year does not make up for breaking the oath. You still have to break the oath. Why? Because that's only before. If you make inshallah after, the oath has to be fulfilled. You get that? This is what he's trying to say, the great Ibn Kathir. And also there's a report in Tabarani, in his Awsat 7-4545, Ibn Abbas said, when Allah Ta'ala says, وَذْكُرْ رَبَّكَ إِذَا نَسِيد, remember your Lord. When you forget, say inshallah. Now what's interesting about this, if you look at the verse, Allah Ta'ala doesn't say inshallah. Verse 24, he says, إِلَّا أَيَّ شَاءَ اللَّهِ. So why do you say inshallah? Because the Prophet said it. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So imagine somebody goes, أَيَّ شَاءَ اللَّهِ. I'm not a scholar, but isn't it inshallah? Inshallah, Quran says it, right? And then you go, because that's true, right? But then the Prophet explained that Allah alayhi wa sallam. So yes, you can say inshallah, but the Prophet said inshallah. And notice, this is something that people don't really value. They say it like, you know, when you say inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, inna lillahi wa inna raji'un, right? There's your tape recorder. You know the value of that statement you've made. And look what I've just discussed. It's in the Quran, it's in the Sunnah. And you got a bit of fiqh on it, but it's the blessing that Allah Ta'ala has given us. And it's in this blessed surah, which is most appropriate. Also, so if you look at the whole verse, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala says, without adding, so please Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, and call your Lord to mind when you forget, and say, I hope that my Lord will guide me ever closer even than this to the right path. Meaning I forgot. But inshallah, because of what I've said, Allah Ta'ala will give me better. Allah Ta'ala is hinting towards that. You forgot, but don't forget. What's interesting? We are called insan. And that name is universal. You notice every language has that word. Fascinating. Urdu, insan. What does it mean? It means mankind. Bengali, insan. It goes mankind. Arabic, mankind. Swahili, mankind. And why are we called insan? Because the hadith says, because insan forgets. The word for forget is nasyan. The Prophet said, Adam forgot. Why? Because he gave 40 years of his life to Dawood. The hadith is in Tirmidhi Sahih. He goes, this son of mine, he goes, 60. He goes, 60 years. He goes, Ya Allah, take 40 years of my life, give it to my son Dawood. So he lost 40 years of his life. One report said 60. So when the angel of death came, he thought he's going to live 1,000 years. But he's lost 40 years. So when the angel of death came, 960, he goes, it's time. He goes, what time? I've still got 40 years. He forgot. And then Allah Ta'ala says, the Prophet said, Adam forgot. Because he's insan. Insan and nasyan. It's in our nature to forget. How many times do we forget things? Oh, because you're insan. So Allah Ta'ala goes, therefore, I've given you a formula. Antibiotic, say inshallah, and that will help you in case you forget. I said inshallah. Look at the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala never forgets. In Surah Taha, he says that. He goes, he does not err, he does not forget. Why does Allah Ta'ala mention that? Because some people, when they look, they go, oh, there's nothing in the Quran about this. Crackpots, right? Oh, Quran, has Allah Ta'ala forgot, right? He's kept quiet, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, because out of mercy for you. Think about that. There's certain things he hasn't talked about. Why? The Prophet goes, because he doesn't want to make things difficult for you. He hasn't forgot. And what do we do? What's that then? Don't ask. The Prophet goes, the worst people are those who ask. Some things halal becomes haram because of your asking. For example, A man came to the Prophet ﷺ and goes, Hajj every year, Ya Rasulullah. Is Hajj farz every year? And the Prophet turned away from him. So the Prophet, then he's thinking, oh, he didn't hear me. He goes, every year, Ya Rasulullah, Hajj, every year. Prophet turns away again. Right? The third time he goes, if I had said yes, then it becomes farz every year. And which one of you can do Hajj every year? He goes, when I tell you, do it. Don't ask me about things until the Quran is revealed. Think about that. Imagine every year you do Hajj, next year, book your ticket. Book your ticket. I've just spent $5,000. There you go. Book your ticket again. Every year. What would you think of that sahab in your heart? Ya Allah, he goes in destruction. So Allah protected him. What do we do? Do Mufti sahab's head in any? Yeah, this happens and that happens and this happens. Don't worry about it. The people came to the sahab and Ubay ibn Qab radiallahu anhu said, has it happened? He goes, no, because when it happens, come back to me. You know, people ask a hypothetical question, you noticed? You know, if it hails and the wind blows from the east, has it happened? Right? No, come back to me when it happens. Right? Verse 25. So they stayed in the wide open cave 300 years and some add 9. So here there's a few things. So first of all, in Ibn Kathir's tafsir, it mentions. So what does it mean 300 years and some add 9? So Ibn Kathir said, rahmatullah alayh, the length of time was 300 plus 9 years in lunar, which is 300 years solar. The difference between 100 lunar years and 100 solar years is 3 years, which is why after mentioning 300, Allah Ta'ala says add 9. So now, which calendar do we use in Islam? The lunar calendar. And it's 10 days, roughly 10 days shorter than the solar calendar. So somebody goes to you. So if 300, if you have 300 solar years, 309 solar years, what would that mean? He goes, that would be 300 lunar years. Sorry, the other way around, right? If you had 309 lunar years, you would have 300 solar years. You can work it out on the calculator. Right? Why? Because the lunar year is 10 days short. So Allah Ta'ala in this verse, He's telling us you can use the solar year. Some people say, oh, you can't say January, February. You gotta go Muharram. Right? Suffer, Rabbi al-Awwal. Correct, brother. And you ask that person, how many Islamic months are there? He goes, 12, name them. He doesn't even know. He's having an argument with you. Imagine, innit? You should use the lunar year. Go on then, name them. Well, it's not important. Well, you don't know the lunar years. You're giving me debating. You don't even know the 12 months Islamically. Muharram, Safar, Rabbi al-Awwal, Rabbi al-Thani, Jamadi al-Ula, Jamadi al-Thani, Rajab, Sha'aban, Ramadan, Shawwal, Dhul Qa'adah, Dhul Hijjah. He's, oh yeah, yeah. Right. So before you debate, know your subject. Then you say, all right, so what's wrong with the solar year? Kuffar use it. And then he goes, okay then. What if Allah Ta'ala says you can use it? The guy's baffled. He goes, what are you talking about? The Prophet used lunar years. Luna. He goes, yeah, mashallah, lunar is the best. Have you read Surah Al-Kahf? The guy's absolutely baffled. He goes, what the heck are you on about now? He goes, verse 25, what does Allah Ta'ala say? They stayed in their cave 300 years. Some add 9. So is it 300 or 309? Which one is it? 300 years is solar. But if you convert 300 solar years, it's 309. Allah Ta'ala is saying both are fine. Who said that? Ibn Kathir in his tafsir. So why are you arguing? But the problem with the solar year is it's not perfect. So every 4 years they add a day called leap year. Oh yeah, what's this leap, right? One brother, he was born on the 29th of February, leap year. And I joke with him. I go, your next birthday is in 4 years. And he goes, no, next year is March the 1st. I go, no, it isn't. You were born 29th of February. Leap year, because February is leap year the other day. Normally it's 28 days. And he starts laughing. He goes, no, it's March the 1st. I go, it isn't. Right? You have to wait 4 years. I go, that means you're only 6 years old. Right? And then he goes, he starts laughing. He goes, oh yeah, it's messed up in it. Right? But the solar year, that's why they add it, because it's not perfect. But Allah Ta'ala allows it. Meaning, don't get too excited. Also, it mentioned here. So, Again, it's in Tafsir Jalalain. So this is an interesting report. Ibn Jarir, Ibn Mardawih, Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhu, he said, so if you look at verse 25, he's explaining it, he's splitting it up. So Ibn Abbas said, when Allah Ta'ala sent down and they stayed in their cave 300. So he recites the opening portion of verse 25. Rasulullah was asked, Ya Rasulullah, whether three, is it referring to years or months? Quite interesting. Allah Ta'ala doesn't mention the years. He goes, 300 years is a clarification from the reports. Because is he referring to years or months? So the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Allah Ta'ala revealed years, i.e. solar, and some add nine, i.e. lunar. Look how amazing. 300 is mentioned, nothing else. 300 what? Years. But the Prophet explained that the 300 is referring to solar. Add nine is the lunar. So you've actually got a direct text from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioning this, according to a report. And also, it mentions here, so Sheikh Maududi Rahmatullah Alayhi, he said, we are of the opinion that the numbers 300 and 309 have not been stated by Allah Ta'ala himself, but Allah Ta'ala is quoting people. This opinion is based on the succeeding sentence. In verse 26, Allah Ta'ala knows best about the period of their stay there. If the number of years given in verse 25 had been from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the succeeding sentence would have been meaningless. Abdullah ibn Abbas' view that this is not the saying of Allah but that of the people has been cited as part of the narrative. So what's happening here? So who's actually saying this? They stayed in their cave 300 years, some at night. So obviously it's Quran, Allah Ta'ala has said that. But is Allah Ta'ala himself speaking or is he quoting somebody? Have you understood? Is he quoting or is he himself speaking? And Sheikh Maududi said, he's quoting. Why? Because the next verse, verse 26, قُلِ اللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا لَبِثُوا. Allah Ta'ala knows best how long they stayed. So he's not going to say that about his own statement. You understand? If he said himself, 300 at 9, and then he says straight after, Allah Ta'ala knows best. What? He himself has spoken. So Shaykh Maududi goes, therefore Allah Ta'ala is quoting here. He's quoting somebody, but he's confirmed it. If you understood? So note again, the preciseness of the Quran. It's the Quran, but is he himself speaking or is he quoting? Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I'll recite the verses and we will conclude. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم سيقولون ثلاثة رابعهم قلبهم ويقولون خمسة سادسهم قلبهم رجما بالغيب ويقولون سبعة وثامنهم قلبهم قل ربي أعلم بعدتهم ما يعلمهم إلا قليل فلا تمار فيهم إلا مراء ظاهرا ولا تستفتي فيهم منهم أحدا ولا تقولن لشيء إني فاعل ذلك غدا إلا أن يشاء الله واذكر ربك إذا نسيت وقل عسى أن يهديني ربي لأقرب من هذا رشدا ولبثوا في كهفهم 300 سنين وازدادوا تسعا. We pray to Almighty Allah subhanahu that He makes the Quran the Rabi of our hearts. And I pray to Almighty Allah subhanahu that He forgives me for any errors which I may have inadvertently uttered. Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanaka Allahumma bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayka, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun ala al mursalin, walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wal asr, innal insana lafi khusr, alladhina amanu wa amilus salihat, wa tawassaw bil haqq, wa tawassaw bis sabr, sadaqallahu al-azim.